Welcome to my little bi-monthly audio project. This is Top Talent. This is my podcast. My name is Richie Phillips. I'm a former morning radio co-host from Albany, New York. I did morning radio for 30 years, retired from radio, and this is what I'm kind of messing around with now, this podcast. The whole idea of it is to feature talent from the upstate New York area, the capital region, all kinds of talent. Talent comes from all walks of life. The only way I was kind of stretching the parameters of this a little bit was maybe I would also feature famous people who are coming to the area, talent coming to the capital region of upstate New York, but at least it's centered around the capital region of upstate New York. So what am I doing this episode? I'm doing an episode with people that don't even live here. But I had to make an exception this time because of, you know, the very serious situation going on, the pandemic. And I had this brainstorm of possibly talking to people. I just want to talk to regular people, people that I know real well, for the most part. There's one person here I've never met before, but try to connect with people from different parts of the world and maybe do it through Zoom and talk to them about the pandemic, what they're going through, how they're dealing with it. I mean, it's pretty obvious everybody's dealing with it the same way. We're all in shock, basically. But just trying to find out maybe the different rules of the different countries and just get some interesting insight into what it's like in other places besides the good old USA. I'll let them introduce themselves, but I will say right now, through the power of Zoom conferencing, we're going to connect Spain, England, Finland through Atlanta, Georgia, which she'll explain, and Albany, New York, all together as we discuss the coronavirus here on
Top Talent.
All right, here we go. We are waiting for the other participant, but this is still working out pretty cool so far. I didn't really plan it this way, but if this all works out, I have one person from the entertainment business, one person from the business community. I have one person from the scientific community. That's the person we're waiting on. And one person from the arts and law enforcement community kind of rolled into one. So instead of me blabbing on, please, we'll go around the room. State your names, occupations. Go ahead. We'll start with the Hirseys.
I'm Glenn Hirsey. I live in the UK in Buckinghamshire. I run a cash register and EPOS systems business. So we put tills into a lot of hospitality and retail sectors, but majority hospitality.
Great. And Don? Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly.
Don't worry. So I'm Kelly. I'm Glenn's wife. I live in the UK too, born and bred. I've got two careers. My first career is I run my own photography business, and I do commercial photography for people's websites and products and things like that. And my second career is I work with law enforcement and private security firms. I'm what's called a super recognizer, which is a facial recognition expert. So I am deployed to find baddies, in a nutshell.
Well, you found a baddie. You found Don Dworkin.
I recognize him from the police files I've been looking through.
Okay, Don.
Yeah, my name is Don Dworkin. I used to have a career in music before the pandemic, and now I have no career, no gigs anyways ahead of me. But I live in Barcelona, Spain, and I play a lot of music all over Europe when we do play. And I spend a lot of time in the United States, where I'm from, and I've had a music career for over 40 years there. So there.
Absolutely. So what I was interested in with this, what are the restrictions right now going on in your country? I know right now, technically, we're still in lockdown. New York has been very conservative about opening up. I think I read in Spain, you're opening up, right?
I would say that. Last week was the first time I was allowed to walk at all unless I was going to the store for food or the doctors or the pharmacists. So it's been a week, and we have specific hours that children can walk and regular adults can walk or exercise, and senior citizens can walk, and it's usually twice a day for about a couple hours each time.
Really?
So it's phase zero. Phase one, there'll be some stores, small stores opening up in groups of like 10 people in cafes can be a third fill, and you know, so so that's kind of where we're at. I do try to, you know, go out and take a walk once or twice a day just for exercise, because I'm sitting at home feeding my face the rest of the time and gaining weight. And you know, it, somehow watching Netflix, you don't lose weight that way.
No, absolutely. It's absolutely not.
Terrible.
Now, and we have our fourth guest here. I'm very excited. I'm sorry for all the confusion. We have Dana Haberling, and she is in, you're in Atlanta right now, correct?
Yeah, I am. We came back just last Monday.
Oh,
so
great.
Maybe 10 days we've been home or so.
So I have to introduce you to Don Dworkin, who lives in Spain, and the Hersey's, Kelly and Glenn Hersey, who are in Buckinghamshire, England.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great. Well, okay. That's our show. No.
Great.
Okay, can you state your occupation, Dana? Because we've never met before. But.
Okay, so I'm actually a statistician at the CDC here in Atlanta.
Wow.
But the reason I'd been living in Finland was I'd taken a year off work to do coursework for a PhD in epidemiology. So everything is very timely.
Really
and interesting
timely.
To me.
Boy, we got to tap your brain. And I got your connection from my niece and nephew. They're the ones that told me about you, I guess.
Right, yeah. So friends. I met Kitty in graduate school at Emory.
Okay.
That's how I know the two of them.
Yeah, it was really.
And where are you? Where were you in Finland?
We were in a city called Tampere, which is about an hour and a half by train from Helsinki, like a little bit northwest. So it's still in the south part of Finland, but, you know, not in Helsinki, which is mostly where people know if they know Finland exists.
Yeah, I've played, I'm a musician. I've played in Finland a few times.
Really?
Oh, okay.
It's a beautiful country in the summer for me anyway.
Yeah.
I've never been there in the winter. So.
But it's more rural.
I like.
I'm sorry. It's more rural in the southern part, isn't it?
Rural. No, Helsinki is in the south, and it's most people live in the south.
Mm-hmm.
In the north, it's very sparsely populated.
Oh, the north. Okay.
But like the town we were in had, I think, just under 250,000 people. So it not huge, but not, you know, teeny tiny. Coming from Atlanta, I was a little bit nervous about going to a town that size, but it's actually very pretty dense, and we live downtown, so I didn't even really feel like, oh, I'm living in a small city.
Okay, great.
The north is Lapland, is that?
Yeah, yeah. It's really an incredible place to visit.
The question I was on, I want to get to Kelly and Glenn, because actually I was talking to both of you before. Kelly, I think you had mentioned how strict it was there. It's incredible. You can't even walk outside?
We were a little bit less strict than Spain, actually. So my brother lives in a Spanish island, and he's had the police patrolling their streets. They're not allowed to go anywhere. They're just easing that now, as Don was saying. But in our country, we're only allowed to leave the house for four reasons, which is to go to the store for food, to get one daily exercise, so one short daily exercise. If you're going somewhere for medical reasons, or you can go to work if you're not able to work from home. And then if you go to work, it's got to be socially distanced and, you know, within all the regulations. So it's been quite strict since the 23rd of March, but we think that tomorrow night, Boris Johnson, our Prime Minister, is going to make some announcements that will be easing things as of Monday, but we think they're going to be really small steps. It's not going to be anything very big.
Now, after what happened to him, you would think that he'd be very conservative, right?
Yeah.
Now, how about for Glenn? Being in the business world, how has this affected? I mean, you're not allowed to. Well, let's say you work out of your house, right? Your office is out of your house.
I have been doing. I mean, the little work that I have had. I mean, 95% of my customers have been forced to close. So hospitality industry was forced to close down on the 23rd of March, I believe. Maybe in the week before that, they were forced to close. Yes, it was, wasn't it? It was the Monday before that. So obviously, that was 95% of my customers just closed overnight. So I have had very little to do now, but what a lot of my, cause we do a lot of pubs and restaurants, things like that. And a lot of them have been using their commercial kitchens and converting them to a takeaway business.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been helping them build online, ordering sites and things like that, which we've then linked into our EPOS systems that we've got in the premises. So there have been bits and pieces to do. I've had to go out into the office probably once every sort of 6 or 7 days. Most of the work I could do from home. So I've been out a few times, just into the office, which is about 7 miles away from here, 8 miles away. I've been to customers on site about 4 times in the last 6 weeks. One time was just to set up a new broadband system for them so that they could operate better with their online ordering.
I really wish I had a dog because people could walk their dogs, you know.
yeah, that's it.
I love dogs. Now I love them even more.
Now, Dana, how about for you? You can tell us from both ends. How's Atlanta doing and how was Finland when you were there?
Well, it's very different. So in Finland, there's not a lot of cases or, you know, relative to a lot of countries in the world. There's right now, Finland has 5.5 million people and there's just under 6,000 cases total. And there haven't been as many deaths, but pretty quickly they did adapt to closing things down, but it wasn't really strict. So I think it was early February, there was one case in Lapland from a Chinese tourist. And I think it was a woman who ended up being hospitalized, but I didn't really know exactly where it was. The language is really difficult. And so they do have some English language news. And then of course, like translators and stuff, but the translations can be really bonkers. So, right. You know, I get like really high level sort of information. but yes, there had been this tourist. And so then it was kind of like, okay, it's, you know, it's in Finland as well, but it seemed really under control. And so it wasn't until like maybe the first or second week of March that things started closing. And it was right around the time things were happening in the US. But like for us, it was a little bit strange because we lived in a like an apartment building right downtown. So right across from the train station, like on a block with like a big department store. So we actually went grocery shopping in the basement of this department store. It was sort of like a boutique-y sort of grocery store. But we lived across the street from a Lidl, which is like a very popular discount grocery. And so, you know, we saw people, yeah, I love looking at their storage bin junk stuff. because they always have like crazy things. You know, so because we could see the Lidl entrance from our apartment and there was like a little park across the street from us, like people would, you know, they'd be distanced from each other, but people, I don't know, you know, it's starting to like be sunshine there. It's been dark and gray for a long time. So people wanted to be outside and they seemed distant, but because of our location, it was almost hard to tell that things had really slowed down. I mean, definitely there was less traffic, but you know, it's hard to say, was it because we were downtown? We still saw a lot of people, but it was thinner for sure. So when we'd go to the grocery store, like no, people are not wearing masks. There's not a lot of strict rules about what can be done. Schools closed, but quickly they started allowing like the youngest children to go to school and you could go to daycare. It was encouraged not to take your children if you didn't have to, but they were like, you know, a lot of people are on the front lines. And like, you know, if you work in a hospital or you work at a grocery store or, you know, you have a job where you can't stay home, you can bring your kids into daycare. So like I was in a program with 8 other people and two women had their children with them, like a 4-year-old and an 11-year-old. And I know the 11-year-old was doing school from home. And then the woman with the 4-year-old just, I think her daycare maybe wasn't open or not encouraged to go or something. So people were staying home and distancing, but it wasn't like really strict. Like I definitely did not feel in lockdown. I didn't, you know, we would go out for walks and we'd see people. Actually, this was the first time I ever saw anybody running. Was we went out for a walk and I saw somebody, I was like, oh, people really do run here. Well, yeah. Then coming back to Atlanta, like, you know, I see mixed things. I see things that people are like out of the parks and stuff and people are not distancing, but also like we went to the grocery store and I only saw one person not wearing a mask in the grocery store. We live in a high rise and we see people in the elevators are wearing masks. Like if we have to get something from the front desk, like if we get a, you know, Amazon order, grocery delivery or something, we wear masks downstairs. So I don't know. It's kind of a mix of experiences.
Now, have all of you seen the protests that are going on here in the United States? They're going, you know, so many going crazy. What's your feeling about that? I think this goes according to personality. I think if you're the type of personality who is a law-abiding citizen, you're going to be totally upset. Not law-abiding citizen, but just somebody who follows rules, you're going to be totally upset. If you're a person who just doesn't like to be told what to do, you know, you're going to be for it. So let's go around the room that way. What's your feeling when you see these crowds? Because I'll tell you my feeling. Don?
Can I use the word assholes?
No. But you just did.
Well, then I can't say anything.
Okay.
Or have I said it?
I think you've said it all, actually. Yeah, unreal, unbelievable. Well, I should be objective here. How about Kelly and Glenn?
Yeah, some people, I think overall the country is shaming people on social media for flouting the rules. And people are, I mean, we live in a small village here, and yesterday was VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. There's huge celebrations for 75 years of peace in Europe. And we were encouraged to have street parties, but to just be in our front gardens or, you know, socially distance, it's quite random. But I know that some neighbours, you know, a few streets away, they had the police called on them because some people heard them singing and shouting and mucking about with their neighbours way across the other way, but they were just shouting and laughing with one another and having a lovely time celebrating. And the police were called. and the police had a lovely talk with them and said, yeah, you carry on doing what you know, have some fun. Sorry we were called, you know. But so there's some really, really angry people around who don't want you to have any fun. But all, you know, I would say the majority of us are doing what we're told. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, with the question as far as, you know, opinions on the protesters, it's, you know, like you said, it's just, you know, people, for whatever reason, just have a complete disregard for authority and they just have to try and, right, you know, show it any available opportunity. And it's just absolutely daft. I mean, everybody knows how, you know, this thing spreads and, you know, I don't understand why or how people think that they're for some reason immune or they don't have to follow the rule. It's just, I don't know, it just seems mad to me.
And now Dana, from an epidemiological, is that a word, standpoint, does steam come out of your ears when you see people, you know?
I mean, yes and no. I think, you know, while I want to sympathize with people feeling like uncomfortable that they, you know, there's this thing about, oh, I want to, you know, get whatever seed for my lawn because I, you know, I'm staying at home. Like, right. I can sympathize with that. Like, but at the same time, like from a transmission standpoint, it's, you know, I find it upsetting to see people in close contact because I think about, you know, the asymptomatic cases and people with underlying conditions and, you know, just the other people at risk. And even if you have a mild case, like who wants to be at home with a fever for 2 weeks or, you know, tired and like, you know, you can't do your yard work if you're like not feeling well. So even that I think is bad. I think, you know, one thing is like, you know, everyone of course is entitled to their opinions or thoughts. I just, you know, I always wish for things to be based in, you know, science. And reality. But I also think it's sort of a vocal minority and it's, you know, we're all kind of looking for information and what's going on. And we're all, or, you know, like Kelly said, most of us are staying at home, you know, listening to the rules. So we're watching the news, we're checking Facebook, we're, you know, that's just like 70 people in, you know, Michigan on one day protesting.
Yeah, so it's a vocal minority. But when you get the president of the United States not wearing a mask and having a meeting with people today, you know, very close to each other, you know, it's ridiculous.
And somebody in his entourage was tested positive.
A bad example.
Did you see that? Somebody in his entourage, you know, his personal assistant. And also Pence's.
Pence's PA, wasn't it? Yeah.
So both of them. Of course, they're being tested every day. You saw that, right?
Yeah, but, you know, these tests are not always accurate.
That's right. In New York, it's kind of like you give people an inch and they take a mile. Or to convert to English terminology, you give somebody a centimeter, they take a kilometer. You know
what I mean? That's European. We're still on inches. And
No, but I see it here. You know, you can go out, like what Kelly said, in England, I guess you said you can go out for a short walk. Well, how do you define, or short exercise? Well, how do you define what a short exercise? To me, for me, I would take a short exercise. But I see people, you know, on bikes here, taking, you know, hikes and going all over the place. How do you define that?
Well, they say
it actually is in Spain. It is defined.
It is defined.
You, you can go a kilometer from your circle of a kilometer from your home.
Yeah.
And if you get caught and you get checked, you get fined hundreds of euros.
Wow.
Wow.
And here it's an hour, so you're supposed to be able to go out for an hour's exercise a day, once a day for an hour. but nobody's checking on it. Nobody's ever been stopped and said, "Hang on, mate, you've been out here for an hour and 2 minutes." You know,
right.
They were checking if you went out shopping or if you didn't go out shopping, they would check receipts to see if you had actually shopped, you know.
Wow.
So
interesting.
It's pretty serious. I mean, of course, Spain
has got
many
it right.
thousands of, yeah.
Yeah, my brother's obviously telling me daily what's going on in Menorca, the Spanish island of Menorca, and doing the same rules as you, Don. And they in Menorca, it's a very small island, but they now have last week they had 3 cases, and they've had 3 deaths in the entire pandemic. They've only lost 3 people, and they only have 3 cases on the island in total last week. So they had 2 ICU units open. They closed one of those down shortly, you know, after, because they didn't need it. They just locked down without anyone being able to break the lockdown, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you say to that?
Right. Just reminding you, you're listening to Top Talent. And if you'd like to listen to some of the other episodes, I've got about 45 of them. They're where you found this one, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find podcasts. That's where they're sitting. Let's return now to Kelly and Glenn Hersey from Buckinghamshire, England, Don Dworkin from Madrid, Spain, Dana Haberling from Atlanta, Georgia, who has studied in Finland, and yours truly from Albany, New York.
Top Talent!
Glenn being in more in the business community, Kelly, part of your law enforcement, part of your occupation, you deal in public places. Don, you entertain, and without your entertainment, you have no income. You might think that you people might say, you know, let's relax these restrictions because we have to get back to work. So, what's your feeling?
No way. I don't want to be in a crowd. I don't want to be in front of a crowd. You know, my life.
It's science over the economy. Yeah. It's science over money.
Definitely.
How about you, Glenn? Because I'm thinking, you know, you're without these pubs open, you're screwed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are, absolutely. It's really, really tough times financially. It's devastating. Yeah. But the worst thing would be to open up too soon and then it flare up again and then we go into full lockdown again. Let's just get it done. Let's get rid of this thing as soon as possible. If it takes 6 months, brilliant. But that would be a result. But at the end of the day, if we go out too early and then it booms back up again and we're all on full lockdown again, that's the worry. And, you know, you just got to look at it, you know, sensibly, really. And yes, it's going to really, really hurt. And we're going to come out with this, you know, sort of with lots of business debts and whatever. But yeah, you just have to bite that and just, you know, it's just got to be, we've just got to get rid of it. And I think coming out too early isn't going to help.
Gee, you people actually make sense. I wish you lived here because I do not understand.
It's a little depressing.
It really is.
In my business, because most of what I do is I play for Lindy Hop dancers,
right?
And that's a contact sport, you know.
You're right.
Yeah. Mm. So you know, I and of course at the racetrack, we play there every year. This would have been our 36th year in a row that we play a 6-week season there, and that's all about crowds. And then I do the bookings down at the Empire State Plaza, as
right.
you know, Richie.
Sure.
And that I doubt that that's going to happen.
No.
We've already had a couple of our groups cancel anyway. So, but I hope that it's still not definite yet down there. Nothing's definite, right? Everybody's just kind of in a wait and see.
Right.
But, you know, without a vaccine, who's going to want to be in a crowd?
Mm. You know? And Dana, you're the expert here. what have you been finding from your studies? Are we all underestimating how bad this could be even in the future? I mean, as far as a second wave and a third wave, I heard from what they said last night, it's like this could go on for years.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been reading too. I think, you know, what's really hard about this is that we're used to scientists and experts giving us information and then just taking that. But the thing with something novel, we've not seen it before. So we don't know anything and the information is constantly changing. Whereas like as a person experienced in this, like I expect, you know, changes and then they say, okay, the model projections are this and then the model projections change. Like that's, you know, just the mathematics behind it. So I expect those changes. So I, you know, it's constantly changing. And I understand that like for the public who are not experienced in these sort of new topics or new ideas, like it could maybe be hard to understand all these, you know, differences that are going on. So it's, you know, you can't, there's nothing to grasp onto and just say, okay, right, in August, everything is going to be better. But yeah. I mean, yeah, I haven't been at work. I haven't been involved in the response. So I only know what you know from reading the news and, you know, trying to keep up with what's going on. But I mean, yeah, it definitely sounds like this is going to be sort of prolonged or, you know, as, someone was saying earlier, like maybe we'll slow down, but things will open up and then we'll see, you know, you've seen all those graphs of the Spanish flu, like how different cities reacted faster, or slower and opened back right up. And then there were more cases or less cases. So, you know, it's going to be really dependent on the space and how people react and also how technology develops and, you know, being able to hire contact tracers and, you know, yeah, everything, all these moving parts, getting supplies, like, you know, do we have enough nasal swabs? And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to how this is going to go in the future. And we just, I mean, we make our best guess as to what's going to happen. And then hopefully, I mean, most of us fall in line because we want it to be better.
See, this is what's scary is that even the scientific community, we're just used to getting answers, you know,
right,
to things like this. Like if it's the flu, all right, you got a vaccine, you know, don't worry about it. This is just like an unending saga, right?
Yeah, well, it's not unending. I mean, if in 1918 they can have the flu end, I mean, we can do it in 2020 or 2021 or 2022.
Wow.
But, you know, with better technology and better treatment and stuff. But a lot of people died in that and a lot of people are dying now. And you know, people are having to deal with the fallout of that, unemployment, stress, teaching your kids at home. You know, there's a lot of, you know, stress and problems that we're having to deal with that unfortunately come along with.
50 million,
experiencing a
50
pandemic.
Million people died in 1918.
That's true.
And I think it was 6 million in the United States. Pretty
yeah
sure.
Every once in a while, you
all of worldwide population as well, right?
Yeah.
It's huge, huge percentage.
It really is, yeah. So if the doors open tomorrow and it was just completely unrestricted, if your government said, okay, it's quote, over, how would you all react to it?
I think when the science supports, or you know, when the data and there's evidence to support that things are slowing down, then I'll consider getting back to normal. But, you know, even then, I think we probably have to ease into what we consider normal. Like,
right,
you know, in other countries, people wear masks for pollution or maybe for infectious diseases and stuff. And, you know, we really haven't been used to doing that in the U.S. and nor in Europe. But I mean, that may become part of what's sort of our new normal for the next couple of years until we have it under control.
In 2011, we had a 3-month gig in Shanghai, China. And you know, pollution is very bad there. And a lot of people wore masks, especially bike riders, but just walking around, they wore masks. And it's a funny thing. I'm kind of from an older generation, and my father, he remembered 1918. He was born in 1909.
Wow.
And I remember him telling me when I was a kid that people were walking around in masks. And I remember thinking, wow, that's really crazy. People in masks. You know?
Yeah.
Now I go, at least 50-60% of the people, not enough here, are walking around in masks. But you're right. It could and should be maybe the new normal.
Remember when you laughed at Michael Jackson?
I still laugh at Michael Jackson.
I feel like it when I walk around the block now. It just feels so strange. Yeah. And you're all nervous like when somebody walks by you? Or is that just me?
I've been petrified to go shopping for food.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a store since the 14th of March.
Same here. We're getting it delivered too.
I can't. I'm so grateful and lucky to be able to get a grocery delivery once a week. So I get my parents' food for them and some bits and pieces for our neighbours occasionally. And that's it. I don't go anywhere at all.
I've gone out once a week.
And Dana, same with you?
Yeah, I'd say we go out about once a week to get groceries. Although, you know, in Finland, again, the language barrier, we had trouble figuring out if we could get groceries delivered or what. But we also lived, like I say, right downtown. So it's easy for us to just, you know, we'd be out for 20 minutes. And, you know, there's new evidence to say that it's really like prolonged exposure with the same person who's sick. So, you know, spending 30 minutes or more with a person who is infected. So, you know, we were probably very low risk going to the grocery store. And, you know, we would, in fact, luckily it's always cold there. So, you know, we were still like, we just wear our winter gloves into the grocery store, pull things off the shelves, and we'd get home, we'd put our groceries away, and then, you know, we'd wash our hands. So, you know, we were taking precautions and stuff. But here, you know, we're getting Instacart deliveries. And
same. Now, do you wash? Do you all wash your groceries? Like in the garage, do you wipe them down? See, we're panicky. We have them in the garage. In fact,
Well, that's okay. If you leave them in the garage, then after 2 days, there won't be any bugs on them. You get bugs in your garage. I'm surprised that I thought everybody in Finland had English. I mean, when I was there, everybody spoke English.
They do. And I think like 70% of the population speaks English is what I read. No, people, the English is very good there. Maybe people over like 60 or so, when like there was a guy in our apartment we would run into. And one time, like he had the sauna before us, and he knocked on our door, and there's like a sign up sheet for the apartment sauna. And he was like, you know, was it working? And then it took a couple minutes to figure out what he was saying. You know, but you know, like the apps and stuff are in Finnish and Swedish. Oh. And so, and then like all the news is in Finnish and Swedish. It's not,
okay.
There's not always an English default, but like their sort of national news does have a section that does English stories, but it's pretty light compared to the rest. And like the news, for instance, like, you know, we would just flip through whatever we had available to us over the air, and we would watch and try and figure out what's going on. And, you know, we knew maybe a couple hundred words or something, so we could kind of get a sense, but we really couldn't get any details of what's happening, and certainly no, you know, emotion behind, or, you know, I don't think I could talk to a 2-year-old in Finnish. So we didn't get much.
I saw an interesting comment about the way news is delivered. Like here, it's very sensational, you know, breaking news with the, you know, the chyron every 5 seconds. And somebody made the comment, I forgot who it was, saying that in England, he goes, I find it very calming to watch the, you know, British news, because your delivery is almost calming. Do you find that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching some of Trump's news conferences. You compare them to Boris's,
right?
And there's a massive. So a journalist will say, Prime Minister, you haven't delivered enough tests, and we want to know why. And it's outrageous that there is not enough PPE for our frontline workers. What are you going to do about it? And he goes, that's a really brilliant question. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that you've asked me that. Now, let me put your mind at rest. Let me explain. And then if Trump had had the same question, he'd be like, you guys,
you're nasty.
Screw you.
Your ratings are too low. You can't answer or ask me a question.
No, I'm
my favorite.
What's that?
My favorite in England are the arguments in Parliament.
Well, I was going to say, Trump would be great in Parliament, though. He would be great.
No, because they always say, I disagree with the gentleman from, you know.
Yeah, right.
Gentleman.
No, but I mean the news anchors here, the way the news anchors deliver the news there is a lot, just their tone of voice is a lot more calming. Yeah.
I do have to say, when we listen to we have a daily news conference, and I feel put at ease every time I watch it. I feel that they're in control. They know what they're doing. And that I'll just do what they say. They get me to feel like it's a really good idea if I just do what they say and stay at home. That will save people's lives. That's what you need to do.
The MPs.
So I'll do it. The politicians
But like you say, the news reporters as well. I think you're right. You know, it's a look. I think, I don't know, it's almost as, again, in the States, it's like they have to go for ratings, and it's all about, you know, viewers to watch. Whereas here, because we've got you know, free-to-air TV that doesn't rely on ratings because of advertising or anything like that. They can be a lot more factual and, you know, sort of, you know, measured and calm in their delivery and just give it as it is. You know?
Yeah.
That's why Governor Cuomo has been such a hit, because he's he's kind of become the most trusted spokesman in America, way over Trump. He's the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Right. And he gives a daily news brief that, you know, kind of makes sense. And he cuts to the quick, and he's very honest, too.
He could get I think he's gotten a degree in epidemiology just from his job, right? Just from everything he's learned. He really sounds very knowledgeable versus,
I get most of my news, I subscribe to the New York Times.
Okay.
I read that multiple times a day. My second format of news is the BBC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I want to go kind of left wing, I'll read the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
People say the New York Times is left wing. I don't see that. To me, it's very middle of the road. You know, I don't really get any TV news at all. I mean, it's, you know, and now lately I've been reading El País, the national newspaper of Spain. They have an English edition. So I'm finding out what's going on here. Because I, even though I've been here for 7-8 years, I don't have command of the language yet. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think in Spain and in England and Atlanta or wherever, Finland, that they're going to make all these changes to restaurants? I mean, what they're talking about in the future and airplanes, they're thinking of taking out all the middle seats. Did you see that? That's not going to make much of a difference. You're still not 6 feet apart from everybody.
You're still going to be touching the same surfaces as you're walking down the aisle and all of that sort of stuff. It's not going
to
make
impossible
enough
to deal with that.
Right.
We've just announced today that at the end of May, we are going to quarantine anyone coming in to the UK.
Wow. Really?
Although then you read that has to be done in a private residence. So the person coming in will have to stay in a private residence quarantined. We won't have quarantine centres or anything like that. So how it's going to be, you know, policed, I don't know. But that's
in China, they put them in hotel rooms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Quarantine people.
Yeah. That's a good idea. But that, you know, we're lucky to be an island, and so we can protect our borders a little bit that way. But there's a flight that goes between Ireland and London every day, and there was some footage taken by a passenger on that this week, and it was every single seat was full on the plane.
Yeah.
And no mask, nobody wearing masks or gloves or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
We had a restaurant here, and they were celebrating, it's a Mexican restaurant, they were celebrating Cinco de Mayo, and it was just in the news today, and everybody, there's this huge line. Everybody had masks on, but they're standing like 2 inches away from each other. They still weren't keeping their distance. And the local police here were called. I don't know. I just saw it today. I don't know what they were actually doing.
The funny thing about that thing from yesterday, I was reading about in the Huffington Post, this meeting that Trump had with all of these Republican leaders. None of them were wearing masks. They were like walking around while they were at a cocktail party. And all the members of the press and the TV people all were wearing masks.
Right.
You know, how can it be so stupid? You know?
Well, Dana, from a scientific standpoint with the masks, do you think it really is that important that everybody wear them? I mean, if I'm wearing a mask, it's really only to protect the other person more than myself. Is that really true?
Mostly. There are studies that have been done in the past about which materials and which types. Because, you know, there's the N95,
right.
Which is the most protective that you can buy at the store. And then there's surgical masks, which is like that just sort of tie on over. And then
piece
there's
of paper,
cloth,
yeah.
Right.
Cloth masks. And then there's like different degrees of protection from each of those types of materials. So I don't remember the exact number. I think it's like cloth masks can provide like up to, you know, maybe 20% effectiveness or something. So it's not great. I mean, viruses are tiny. So imagine if you threw a basketball into a basketball hoop and you had three hoops stacked up, like, it's not impossible for that, you know, ball or that softball or something to get through it.
Right.
But if you hit the edge, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe this isn't a great analogy. I'm not a virologist, but you know, it's the point is the viruses are small and like, maybe you can't see through your cotton, but you know, it's very porous. But then the point of the mask, the cloth mask in public is really to protect other people around you. It's not so much to protect yourself, although right. maybe there's some small amount of protection. You can read papers where they talk about, like, you know, how much moisture comes out of your mouth when you're speaking, and so that can have viral particles on it, and then you need something like 1,000 particles of virus to get sick. And so that's the thing about being in close proximity with somebody for a certain amount of time, so that your, you know, potential of the amount of virus you have is getting on you. So then when you cough or sneeze, like, you know, I mean, most of us probably use a tissue when we cough or sneeze, or, you know, we've learned to do the mm-hmm. cough into the elbow thing, but you can't always do that. You know, like sometimes yeah. it just comes on suddenly, or you're not thinking of right. it, or, you know, in your own house, like, I don't, you know, you might not cover your nose or whatever, or you might just cough to the side or something. But so the mask really can help in deflecting some of that spread. Like, they're not 100% effective, of course, but right. if you can mostly eliminate that risk for other people, like, you know, it's not that hard to wear a mask. Like, maybe it's not always the most comfortable, and sometimes I find myself talking and then taking a big breath, and, you know, I'm like yeah. sucking the mask into my face. But
or walking.
I mean, I'm a healthy person. It's okay for me to do that. It's not a huge burden.
Fogs up my glasses.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Have you seen those scuba diver tricks and stuff of, like, wiping it with either, or like washing it with baby shampoo, or like wiping yeah. it with toothpaste?
With toothpaste? Right. Oh.
Yeah, that's what divers do. That you like take. Just sort of wipe the inside and then rinse it off. It's supposed to help with fogging.
That's true. There's different things you can do. You know, get contact lenses.
Right.
I've also seen people taking, like, floral wire and putting it into the bridge of yep. the mask so that you can, like, press it down a little bit more.
And coffee
filters. I've seen masks that have that built in too.
They have coffee filters you can put in your mask, supposedly.
Yeah, I've seen that. I meant to look up the research on that. Of course, I look everything up.
Right.
But I've seen that mentioned. And I mean, it's more layers. It's sort of like my basketball hoop analogy. Like, right. you know, enough hoops stacked up, like, they're going to be uneven. Sure. And
yeah.
And pantyhose, too. I heard about that, too, supposedly. I read this stuff.
I don't have a lot of pantyhose around.
See, I do. I'm wearing some now, so I'll just take
them. I wish you don't share that with us, please.
Well, I don't want to hold you guys more. I mean, I'll talk as long as you want here, but I'm just surprised because this says we've been on 55 minutes, my recording device. So this is cool.
I just wanted to add one thing back anything. To the topic of, like, please. Restaurants and stuff, or a couple of thoughts came up when people were talking. In Finland, from... I think, you know, schools and stuff started closing down mid-March. And I think about the beginning of April, they already said restaurants would be closed till the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And early on. So I don't know if they'll push that back or not. But they were good in, like, immediate, you know, coming out right away and putting a deadline on it. And, you know, it could be extended, but I think that was sort of comforting knowing. Like, there's takeout and stuff, but, you know, no restaurant seating. And Helsinki had the most cases and, you know, most active cases. And so they actually closed down Helsinki region for a while. And so we were considering, should we come home or not, when they started saying, like, oh, no Europeans can travel to the US. And we were like, oh my gosh, do we need to leave now? You know, what are we going to do? So, like, had we taken a train to go to the airport, I contacted the embassy and they said, we could, but we had to have paperwork showing that, like, we were going to the airport. And in fact, there were no trains. Normally you can take a train to the airport, but there was no train to the airport. I guess to, you know, not encourage people just be going out there, or I don't know, employees still have to go out there and stuff. But then what they were doing for people who were repatriating, when you arrived at the airport, if you didn't have a car, or someone to pick you up, Finland actually paid for people to take taxis to their home, wow. not ride public transportation. And so the state, you know, of course, again, my lack of hearing all the news there, but, you know, the state really seemed to be doing a lot of subsidizing costs for citizens or people who are, you know, can legally live in Finland for extra costs that were being put on them. And then actually on that same note, the program I was in was all international students, and there were 9 of us, so none of us were Finnish. It's only myself and then a woman from Iran that could actually go home right now, because we're the only countries that have commercial flights. all the other countries people are from. There was a woman from Mongolia who left this week, but she was able to get on like an evacuation flight through her embassy. And then everybody else, like there are no commercial flights or, you know, so they have to wait and see if there's an evacuation flight. And our residence permits all are expiring at the end of May. So they who are still there, they have to like pay to extend their residence permits. Plus they're, you know, they're gonna have to pay rent and figure out what to do for like future months. So like there are definitely people, you know, sort of stuck places who haven't been able to go. And then to the point of traveling, we had to fly. We took a train to Helsinki and we stayed overnight because we had at the airport hotel. We had an early flight. There were only three flights a week from Helsinki to Amsterdam on Finnair that we could catch the direct flight from Amsterdam home. So we had an early morning flight that didn't have a lot of people on it. People were spaced out, but not a lot. Like everyone was like in the window seat, but we'd be like one row behind, so we weren't, you know, exactly not close. But then on the Delta flight home, the plane could have held almost 300 people and there were like 50 people on the flight, so we didn't have anyone in the row in front of us, beside us, behind us. Like I felt really comfortable. And then the I think it sounds like airlines are going to requiring masks, and like all the attendants had masks, and they said, you know, if you need a drink or something during the flight, don't come to the galley, ring your bell. And they were like immediately coming. I mean, within 30 seconds or so, they were.
Sorry to bug you. There's somebody at our front door. You guys want to talk? I have to answer the front door.
Actually, I'm getting a FaceTime call, so I'm going to.
You have to go?
I do have to go.
Doris.
But thank you for, it's been interesting to hear different countries.
No, and it's been great.
What's going on?
This has been fantastic. And everything worked great. This is so amazing. Thank you for joining the World Symposium. You guys can continue talking. I can come back, or you want to end it. Let's end it.
I have to go, but nice meeting you.
Okay.
Nice meeting you.
All right. Thank you very much to Glenn and Kelly and Dana and Don. It sounds like a band. Thank you all, really. Well, that was a lot of fun on my end, and I hope you really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed and got some information out of it. It is just mind-blowing how this pandemic is changing the world, changing the way we deal with everything. And it's going to be probably like that for a long time. In fact, I was thinking that it may even change the way we write love songs. You know, you might even have song titles like, "If You Love Me, Stay Away From Me." I actually came up with that one in the shower. So when I got out of the shower, I wrote the rest of it. And here it is.
If you love me, stay away from me. If you love me, don't show resistance. You can love me from across the street. It's more than 6 feet, so keep your distance. If you need me, won't you guarantee? And won't you pardon me for my persistence? I listen carefully to the CDC. So if you love me, keep your distance. Kindly stay right where you are. I'll blow you kisses from my car. And when we're home in separate rooms, we can use FaceTime or maybe Zoom.
Maybe Zoom. Yeah.
Test your nerves.
If you need me, won't you hear my plea? And more importantly, you better listen through this insanity. For all humanity, don't get emotional. It's very crucial to keep you social distance.
That song became a video, by the way. It's one of those videos where everybody's singing at the same time, one of those grid things. And you can see, well, what I'll do is I'll leave a link in my show notes where you can find it. It's on my YouTube channel, and it's also on my Facebook page. My Facebook page, by the way, is Richie Phillips. There's also another one. It's Ryman Richie Phillips. You can find me either way there. And there's song parodies and all kinds of other things that I'm getting involved with, including an every once in a while live piano bar that I'm doing on Facebook Live. Trying to do those every other week, maybe every other Thursday. I'm trying to solidify when that's going to happen. If you friend me on Facebook, it'll keep you abreast of when that's happening. Okay, I guess that's it. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Hope you'll listen to more of them. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast or know somebody with an interesting talent, you can email me at richie1077@gmail.com. And I will leave you with a famous quote. It was football coach Lou Holtz who said, "Your talent determines what you can do. Your motivation determines how much you're willing to do. Your attitude determines how well you do it." Write that down. Take it.